So we're holding on Hey Umud Bey's seven lines from the bottom. We discussed the whole point of that you have to say that when you bring a get from Medina Sayyam, you have to be able to say b'fana nechtam, and the reasons behind it, and so on and so forth. So now, more on that topic about, so we said you have to say b'fana nechtam, just how much of the get has to actually be written in your presence for you to be able to say b'fana nechtam. So the Gemara tells, bar hedya boy la suya gita, Bar Hedya, that was his name, was going to be bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's interesting, you know, you have in Brachas, you have the famous story over there with Rava and Abaya, where they kept on having dreams, sometimes the same, many times the same dream they were having, and they'd go to this dream interpreter, Bar Hedya, and for a while over there, Abaya was paying him and Rava wasn't, and therefore he was being greedy about it and giving good interpretations to Abaya and bad ones to Rava, and it's a whole long story over there. It's possible that that is the same Bar Hedya as we have in the Gemara over here, maybe, maybe not. Anyway, so he was planning to bring a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Also, Kameh Rab Achi, so he came to ask a Shaila by Rab Achi to have a Mamuna a Gittin. Rab Achi was in charge of Gittin. In other words, he was in his town. They had appointed the Bastin of his town had appointed him to be the local expert on Gittin. You have, the Gemara mentions in a few places, we're going to have it in our Masechta, that anybody who doesn't know all the ins and outs of Gittin and Kiddushin should not be involved with them, because of course, you know, it's very easy to make a mistake, and then there are serious consequences. So sometimes they would have Rabbonim. So actually Rashi says this, that sometimes, therefore, they would appoint Rabbonim whose job was to be in charge of this kind of thing. So in other words, that was his specialty, is to paskin on these kinds of questions. So Bahedya comes to him with a shayla. And how much of the get do I need to be there for the writing of? Omalei, so Rab Achi tells him, Sarach atalamed akol ois vois. You have to be there for the writing of every single letter of the get. Also, Rab Ami v'Rab Asi, but then Bar Hedya came to Rab Ami and Rab Asi to ask them, Amri Lei, and they told him, Loit Srichas, you actually don't need to stand there by every letter, not like Rab Achi said. V'chitema Evid L'chumra, so you're going to think to yourself, okay, so what's the problem? I will stand there for the entire thing, and that way I'll be acting L'chumra, and that way I'll satisfy Rab Achi's opinion. Don't. If you do that, then you're going to cause that people are going to start questioning and casting aspersions on previous gittin, that people are going to say, oh, previous gittin, the person didn't stand there the whole thing, so maybe there's a shayla on them, so therefore better not to do that, just do like we're saying, and you don't need to be there for the whole thing. The Gemara continues. This kind of thing, Bechlal, it comes up an interesting issue in halacha in general about being machmir, where before people used to be mekel. When is there an issue with that versus when are you concerned about being moitzi laz? So there's a good deal of discussion about it. Sometimes we say that it's primarily with Gittin, for example, that we're concerned about that kind of thing. We obviously don't want people being Motzi Laz and claiming that earlier Gittin are possible. But you have different poskim talk about that maybe with other kinds of Menhagim as well. It's not so simple to come up with new Chumras. It also depends what the basis for the Chumra is and so on and so forth. There's a good deal of discussion about a lot of the ins and outs of that. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Another case. Rabbi Baba Chana, I see Gitta. Rabbi Baba Chana was once bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Palga Ichtiv Kameh, half of the get had been written in his presence. Or Palga Lo Ichtiv Kameh, half of it had not been. Also, the Kameh to Rabbi Lazar. So he comes to Rabbi Lazar and to ask, is that okay? Omalei, and Rabbi Lazar says, yes. Afilu Lai Kosebai El Shita Achas Levada, El Shita Achas Lishma, even if he wrote only one line in it, Lishma, then you don't need anything more. Meaning, in other words, so what do we mean? What's the one line? Later on towards the end of our perek, Rashi brings over there that it means, but we don't mean just the first line. Here, Rashi says it just means one line. He doesn't specify which line. Later on in the parak, Rashi gives an explanation that it means the line where the line or lines, plural, whatever, where the names of the husband and the wife are written and other such things that are the essential part of the get. So according to that, then it would have to be that the shliach would be there specifically for the writing of that part. Tosfos says that no, even if you only saw them writing the first line, you know already that that means that you can assume that once he started writing that first line lishma, he's going to continue lishma. Therefore, it's good enough just to see the writing of the first line. Rav Ashi says you don't even need to be there for the actual writing of the first line. Afilo ken kolmosa, even if all the shliach hears is the sound of the kolmos. So now Rashi gives the word kain. Rashi's first explanation is that the word kain is related to the word tikkun. So therefore it means if he hears the sofer preparing the kolmos, the kain megilta, or he hears the sound of the megillah being prepared, there's a scroll, the piece of parchment, which is going to be used for the get. And then the Rosh also adds, it would have to be then that the shliach recognizes with the shliach has a tvius ayin, and he recognizes that this is the same sheet of parchment which eventually gets used for writing the get. The point being, in other words, so that's according to that explanation, just when you hear that the sofer is preparing the pen or preparing the sheet of parchment, and he says that he's doing that in order to write a get lishma, then that's good enough. And you don't need to actually be there for the actual writing itself. Because again, once he started it lishma, then we can assume that he's continuing it, with lishma. Tosfos points out, now later on in the Masechta, in the second parak, we're going to talk about that a blind person is possible to be a shliach to bring a get, because how could he say b'fanei nechtam, how could he say it was written in my presence if it wasn't in his presence, if he didn't see it? But here the Rosh says, and the Rosh says in Tosfos HaRosh, that here actually it would be fine. It's one thing over there. It's a blatant sheker to say it was b'fanai when there's no possibility of it having been b'fanai. But here it was, in fact, at least he was there to see how the quill or the parchment was prepared, and therefore that's good enough. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers, is that it means that the shliach hears the sound of the pen writing on the parchment, and he hears the sound. So Rashi explains, and the word kan or kain would be it's an onomatopoeic word. It means like that's the sound when you hear the pen writing on the parchment. It makes a sound like kan kan kan. So therefore, and in fact, Rashi brings another girsa, kol kolmasa, meaning the sound of the pen. So according to Rashi's second explanation, then we're talking about that he hears the sound of the writing taking place. So then that's good enough. Then we know that once he did that, then it would mean that he's continuing lishma. So the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei de Rav Ashi. We learn a braisa like the way Rav Ashi said. The braisa says,
How do you know that when he writes with his pen, it just hearing the sound means it's lishma? I don't understand the connection.
In other words, we're talking about that he heard the sofer saying, "I'm getting ready to write." The Rosh explains, Rashi doesn't say it over here explicitly, but the Rosh explains that what we mean is that he heard the sofer saying, I'm writing this, I'm starting to write this get, or even according to Rashi's first explanation, I'm preparing this pen and this parchment in order to write lishma. So therefore, once he already said that it's lishma, we can assume that he's going to continue that way. As the Gemara is going to say soon, he's not going to interrupt in the middle and go on to something else. So that works. It's true. The Rosh does say if the shliach hears only that he hears the sofer saying, "I'm going to start writing a get lishma," but he doesn't hear any sound of the preparation of the quill or of the parchment, or in the second explanation of Rashi, he doesn't hear the actual sound of the writing, then maybe we could say the sofer said that, but he didn't actually get to start writing the get right now. He did something else, and then he's going to get back to it later, and he may not do it lishma. So it would have to be he hears the sofer saying the words that I'm going to do lishma, and then he hears one of these things to go along with. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kava say that Rav Ashi. We learn a Braisa like the way Rav Ashi learned, because the Braisa says, maybe get me Medina Sayam, person brings a get from overseas, Afilo Huba Bayis for Sofa Balia, even if he's in the bottom floor of the house and the sofa is on the top floor. Or the other way around, Huba Aliyah Vasofa Babayas, or the other way around, the Shliach is on the second floor and the sofa is on the ground floor. Afilu nichnas v'yotze kol hayom koloi, or even if he, and we'll see soon in the Gemara who is the he, is going in and out throughout the day, in all those cases, kosher. Then in all those cases, it's kosher, and the shliach can say b'fon nechta, b'fon nechta. So we have to figure out, once we figure out what the b'raisa means, then we'll understand that this b'raisa proves what Rav Ashi is saying. So far we have, in other words, the very fact that he hears from another floor is good enough. But so that's the Gemara asks, who ba'bayis v'sofa ba'aliyah? You have to ask, if he's on the ground floor and the sofa is on the top floor, how could he say b'fanenechtem if he doesn't see the writing? Because it's above him. It's one thing, I guess the Gemara is assuming, if it was the other way around, maybe if the shliach was on the top floor, then he could be looking in through, there'd usually be a hole in the ceiling, a trap door or something, to be able to go from one floor to the other. So therefore you could be looking down through the trap door and watch the sofa writing. But the other way around you can't do. And yet the Braisa is saying it's good. El alav kagun de shama kain kolmos of a kain megilta. So it must be that it's because he's hearing the sound of it's that he's hearing the preparation of the pen and of the parchment. Or according to Rashi's second explanation, the sound of the pen writing on the parchment. So therefore, and we see that that's good enough. So therefore, that the Braisa bears out what Rav Ashi is saying. By the way, the whole thing that we're saying over here, it sounds like we're saying the point is we have to know that he wrote it Lashma, which that would mean, in other words, that the halacha ought to be like Rabbah, that the primary reason for b'fanenechtem is because of the concern about Lashma. And in fact, there are Rishonim who say that way. The Ravid in particular says that. And that in questions, therefore, we question the Rif who paskins like Rava. And the Ramban gives an explanation that even according to Rava, once we say b'fana nechtav, he still has to see the actual writing of the get, and therefore we're saying, so he doesn't have to see the actual writing, he just has to see enough of the preparations for writing the get that now he'll know that it was done l'shma. That it was done l'shma, and that everything was done, and that everything was done correctly. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Omamar." Now we said in the Braisa, "Filu nichnas v'yotze kol hayom koloi kosher." We said that even if he is going in and out all day, then the get is kosher. So the question is, who's the he? Man, ilay mashliach. Do you mean the shliach is going in and out? Well, why does the Braisa need to say that? Hashda hu ba'bayis v'sofa ba'aliyah d'lechazilei. If you're saying that even when the shliach is on the ground floor and the sofa is on the second floor, d'lechazilei, the shliach can't even see the sofa doing his work, amre kosher, and you're still saying it's kosher, nichnas v'yotzi mibaya. Do we need to say that if the shliach is going in and out, if he's there in the same room as the sofa and then he goes out and then he comes back in later, of course it would be kosher. And Tosfos says it can't mean nichnas v'yotze just in the house, because yotze v'nichnas, or nichnas v'yotze, implies that he's going into the place where the sofa is sitting. Just like you have, for example, in the halachas of kashrus, so mashgiach, for example, we talk about a mashgiach being nichnas v'yotze, and we mean that he's nichnas v'yotze to where the food is being prepared or whatever. So, or where the food is being stored. So the same way over here, it should mean that. So, but then what's the chiddush? If even it's kosher, if he didn't even see the sofa at all, he just heard him, then how much more so if he's yotze v'nichnas into the room where the sofa is? So elos sofa. So you have to say then that the braisa means that the sofa is going in and out. Well, the question is pshita. Well, isn't it obvious? Mishum de nichnas v'yotze nifsalinei. Why should we think to pass all the get just because the sofa is going in and out? It's not like a get needs to be written in one shot. And the answer is, loy tzricha, yes, but the chiddush of the braisa is, the reason why the braisa needs to tell us the din, the nofak l'shuka, suppose that the sofa went out to the street in the middle of writing the get, v'osa, and then he came back in. So he didn't just go out, for example, to go to the bathroom or something, or to get a snack. He went out into the marketplace where it's likely that he could have met any number of other people over there. So therefore, now, Mao de Tema, without the Braisa telling us, you would have thought, in a Shachuna Ashkeche, conceivably you could have somebody else might have met up with him in the street, but Omole, and that other person tells him, write me a get, and now maybe the sofer is continuing the get that he started writing. Let's say he wrote the first line of the get, which is, that's the first line of the get is going to have things like the date and whatever. That's, that doesn't yet have the names. So now in the middle, the sofer is going to say, you know what? This guy just commissioned a get by me. I'll take the get that I started writing now and I'll write it for him. And then therefore it comes out that it wasn't written l'shma of the original person. So kamash malon. Therefore the braisa is telling us that there's no need to be concerned about that. In fact, if the sofer went out in the middle, we still assume that he's going to continue writing the first get that he did lishma, and then if somebody commissioned a get by him, then he'll write the next get after that lishma as well. But we see from the braisa that even that kind of thing works. Okay. New discussion now, the Gemara says. Given that we've been saying all this time about Medina Sayyam, so we've been talking about Eretz Yisrael versus the rest of the world. So now, Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroyim. Bava, when it comes to the country of Bava, Rav Omer ke'Eretz Yisrael le'Gittin. Rav says that Bava is considered like Eretz Yisrael regarding the dinim of Gittin. So therefore, you don't have to say b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam when you bring a get from Bava to Eretz Yisrael or within Bava itself. Shmuel says that Bavel would be like Chutz Laretz. Okay, so Tosfos says actually they're only arguing when you're taking it from one Medina to another within Bavel, from one province to another. If it's within the one Medina, then Shmuel will agree that you don't have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. As far as from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, that we're going to have on Omid Beis, we're going to have a discussion about that point, whether when you bring from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, do you need to say b'fana nechtam or not? So Tosfos says the whole machlokas would only be when you bring it from one province to another within Bavel. Well, the Gemara says, Lema b'hokam b'fligi. Well, should we say that they're arguing on the underlying point, about that they're arguing on the point between Rabbah and Rabbah? Rav would hold that the problem, the reason why you have to say b'fana nechtam is because the people there may not be familiar with the din of lishma. V'hani gemiri. Well, then the people in Bavel are knowledgeable because there are big yeshivas over there, and therefore there's no concern about that. Umar savar. And now we learned before when it comes to other places in Chutz Laretz, there's always the concern that they may forget. But as the Gemara is going to point, as we're going to learn soon, in Bavel they already have from even before Churban Bayis Rishon, when Golas Yechoniah came there, already there they were already then there were great Chachamim there, and there continued to be great Chachamim there throughout the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and even after it, and until the end of the time of the Gaonim. So therefore, there'd be less concern that they might forget as opposed to other countries. So are you going to say that Rav would hold like that? Shmuel, meanwhile, would hold like Rava, that the problem is you may not find Edim to validate the signatures. So if you're going from one province to another in Bavel, then again, they may not necessarily travel enough from one to the other to be able to find Edim. So in that case, then the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel would be identical to the Machlokas of Rabbah and Rava. The Gemara says, can't be. The Tisperah, how could you think that way? First of all, Har Rabba Islay de Rabba. We already established on Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom that Rabba agrees with Rava's Svara. Rabba is saying, in other words, there are two reasons for the Takana. One because of Lashma and the other because Ein Eidim Mitzurin L'Kaimai. So even if you've taken care of the Lashma problem, you still have the other issue to consider. So you can't say that, and again, the proof that we brought that forced us to say that Rabba would agree with that, that proof would exist according to Rav as well. So Rav can't exclusively say that the problem is only Lashma. He has to agree that there's the problem of Edim Mitzui and Lakaimai as well. So how are you going to understand, according to him, why from one province to another in Bavel, you shouldn't have to say? So the Gemara says, no. Ela Tukula Alma Be'in and Lakaimai. No, we're going to say that both of them agree with Rava's Svara, that the point is that you need Edim L'Kaimai. We're not concerned about Lashma. Rav Sava Kivin de Ikka Masivta. Rav holds, because in Bavel you have the great Masivtas over there of Surah and Nahadar, Pumbedisa, wherever they are, Mishkach Shlichi. So the point is not just that they're familiar with Lashma. The point is, Talmidim go from one yeshiva to another to learn. Therefore, Mishkach Shlichi. So it'll be easy enough to find people from one part of Bavel located in a different part of Bavel, where there they can certify the signatures if necessary. Or Shmuel Saba Masivta Begir Sayhu Tridi. Shmuel holds that the Chachamim of the Masivtas are busy with their learning, and therefore they're not going to necessarily recognize the signatures. So Tosfos explains, Shmuel will agree that within one country, sure, we're not going to say that they're so totaled that they won't recognize signatures of people. They won't be able to recognize signatures of people from their own country. But we're talking about from one country to another. They move from one part of Bavel to another in order to learn in the yeshiva. So therefore, they don't necessarily get familiar with the people over there to be able to recognize their signatures. So the Gemara continues. Itmar Nami. Now we have. It was also said that, and we can use this as a proof for what we said that. Omer of Abba, Omer of Huna, Asinu Atzmenu B'Bavol Ke'eretz Yisrael L'Gitin. We in Bavol, Rav Huna and Rav Abba, his Talmud, were in Bavol. We have made ourselves in Bavol like Eretz Yisrael, as far as the dinim of Gitin, as far as B'fana Nechtem, Miki Osa Rav L'Bavol. Ever since Rav came to Bavol. Now, what happened when Rav came to Bavol? So Rav was originally born in Bavol. When he was at some point in his life, when he was a young man, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He spent a substantial part of his life in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud of Rebbe over there. Eventually, when he was already old, he left Eretz Yisrael and moved back to Bavel. And when he did that, he really rejuvenated Jewish life in Bavel. The Gemara tells us in Chulin, for example, where he came to a place where he found they didn't even know the dinim of Basa B'Cholav. So he taught it to them and made Gzeiros for them. So Rav coming to Bavel and opening his yeshiva over there in Surah became a watershed event in the history of the Jews of Bavel. Like they considered that was like a new era in the history of the Jews above him. So Rashi therefore explains that, it's true that they had yeshivas before that as well. In fact, they had them ever since Yechoniah, 11 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, ever since he and the Chorash v'Hamaskir, which the Gemara is going to tell us at the end of the Masechta, those are the enormously great Talmid Chachamim of that time. Ever since they were taken to Bavel, it was a place of Torah. Nevertheless, though, Rashi learns that what Rav Huna is saying is that still, until Rav came and set up his yeshura, his yeshiva in Surah, and Shmuel set up his in Nahadah. So up until then, they knew about the concept of Lashma, but they didn't have the concept that people are traveling necessarily from one part of Bavel to the other, and therefore they'd still have to say B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechta. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos learns, rather, that what Rav Huna is saying is that when Rav came to Bavel, he told them, you should know something. Given that Bavel has had for hundreds of years high world-class Talmid Chachamim, ever since the time of the Chodesh V'Hamaskir, all along you could have been conducting yourself like Eretz Yisrael and not having to say B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechtem. So it's not that a new din is coming as a result of Rav coming to Bavel, that a new din that didn't exist before, but rather that Rav is explaining to them that you should know this is how it should have always been in Bavel because we have great Talmid Chachamim and great yeshivas over here. So all it is Rav is explaining to them that this is how the halacha should have always been. In fact, Tosfos says, I mean, there were Gemaras that had the girsa Omer of Huna, Omer Rav. Now Rav himself is not going to say ever since Rav or ever since I came to Bavel. Although Tosfos gives another explanation that maybe it means not Rav as in the individual, but rather once many great Rabbonim and Baalei Torah came to Bavel, then the halacha changed. Because now you have people commonly traveling around from one yeshiva to another. Okay, so the Gemara says, Masiv Rabbi Yirmiya, but Rabbi Yirmiya says, how could you say that? We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, that when we talked about where do you have to say b'fana nechtem and where not. So we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, merekem l'mizrach, from Rechem eastward, you have to, is considered as a, in other words, any place from there until the edge, and then until the eastern edge of the world, the eastern end of the eastern edge of Asia, let's say, you would have to say b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam. V'rechem k'mizrach, and Rechem itself counts like the east for that purpose. May Ashkelon the Dorim, but Ashkelon Kadorim, from Ashkelon southward, and Ashkelon itself is considered like part of the south, because those places also, either again, you have, they don't know Lushma, or you don't have Adim, Mitzuri, and Lakaima, because they're far away from the major centers of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. And may Akko Latsofen, but Akko Katsofen, from Akko northward, and Akko itself counts as the north for that purpose. So now, Bavel tzfoined Eretz Yisrael kaima. So Rabbi Yirmiya asked, isn't Bavel north of Eretz Yisrael? The dichtiv vayomer Hashem elai mitzofen tiposach hara, as we find that Hashem says in Nevuah to Yirmiya that from the north the evil will break forth over Eretz Yisrael, meaning that Nebuchadnezzar will come from the north from Bavel and conquer Eretz Yisrael. But Bavel is actually northeast of Eretz Yisrael, but based on that pasuk we see, which is why in the Gemara we always have that they always call Eretz Yisrael Ma'arava, and in the Bavli they always call Eretz Yisrael the west, because southwest of Bavel. But based on the pasuk we see that it's mostly north. So anything north of Akko, which includes Bavel, is considered Chutzlaretz. So what are you telling me that the Utnan, and the Mishnah continues, Reb Meir Omer Akko k'Eretz Yisrael l'Gittin, that Reb Meir says that no, Akko is considered like Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin. But fine, but I feel Reb Meir like Ka'omer Elav Akko d'Makarva. Even Reb Meir is only talking about Akko because at least it's close, relatively, to the major Jewish towns in Eretz Yisrael. Avol Bavel d'Merachkaloi, but not Bavel, which is hundreds of miles away. So what are you telling me that Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is, Reb Yirmiya asked the question. He himself gave the answer. Fine, it means levad mi bavel. It means aside from, levar mi bavel, aside from bavel. You're right. The Mishnah is giving us details about Eretz Yisrael, but you should know, aside from that, you have bavel, which is a separate enclave of its own and has its own rules. In fact, Tosfos says this is one of the proofs against Rashi's explanation. If according to Rashi's explanation, the din in Bavel was one way until Rav came, and then the din changed, then what is Rabbi Yirmiya asking from the Mishnah? The Mishnah was composed before that. So the answer must be that Rav is saying that all along this is how the din should have been. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ad Heichon hi Bavel, how far does Bavel extend for purposes of this halacha? Omer Papa. So the Papa says, "K'machloikas liyuchsin, kach machloikas legitin." The exact same machloikas that you have as far as yuchsin is going to be as far as gitin. Meaning, you have in the last parak of Kiddushin, you have a machloikas Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and you have different opinions over there about the details of so you have the Gemara establishes over there in the last parak of Kiddushin that the Jews of Bavel have a much greater, they have much better yuchsin than the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you have various psulei kahal, mamzerim and nesinim and others that got blended in, and nobody knows who's who, and therefore it's very hard to know in Eretz Yisrael whether somebody is a real miyuchas. Whereas in Bavel, they were more careful about that, and therefore they were, and therefore their yuchus, as far as marrying Koyanim, or as far as a person marrying into such a family, is much better. So now, the Gemara discusses over there how far does Bavel extend as far as those halachas. So the Papa says, the various opinions over there about how far Bavel extends, towards the south, towards the north, towards the east, towards the west, all of those are going to be the same, those respective opinions would be the same thing over here, as far as b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam. Rav Yosef says no. Machloikas liyuchsin, that machloikas of Rav and Shmuel primarily, which you have over there in Kiddushin, is only as far as yuchsin. Aval legitin, but when it comes to gitin, divra hakolat arba tinyona de gishra, everybody agrees that Bavel extends as far as, at least in the north, as far as the second, as far as the second swamp with willows growing in it past the bridge. So there was a particular bridge that was a landmark over there, or actually Rashi over here translates that it just means Aravashnia, the second willow tree. So there was a known landmark, there was a particular bridge there someplace over over the Chidekel, over the Pros in Babel, and near it there were growing, and near it there were willow trees growing. So it was a known landmark that at that point, from there on, is not the primary area of Jewish settlement in Babel, and therefore the dinim of Yuchsin, and therefore the high quality Yuchsin are not from there on, and therefore also Rabbi Yosef is saying the din that your potter from saying b'fanin nechtem would also not extend past there. Okay, the Gemara continues. Reb Chista Matzrich Me'aktis von Lebe Arashir. Now, there were these two. We're going to talk about now two cities that were on opposite sides of the Chidekel River. The Chidekel runs to the east of Babel. And so on one side of it, on the western side of it, which is within the province of Babel itself, there was a city called Bay Audashir, where many Jews lived. And then across the river, across the Chidekel, there was another city called Aktisphon. In history books, it's called Ktesiphon, which is about the same thing, which was where also you had Jews live there, but it's not part of the province of Babel, it's part of a different province. So a Rav Chista would require, when a person was bringing a get from Aktisphon to Bay Audashir, he would require them to say b'fanin nechtem. Only Bay Audashir, Aktisphon, Le'matzrich. But if they were going the other way, from Bay Audashir, which is within the country of Babel, to Aktisphon, then he wouldn't require them to say b'fanin nechtem. Now Tosva says, one second, didn't we learn before that the same way as when you bring from Chutzlar to Teretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanin nechtem. We said the other way as well, because once you have it one way, then you do it moilach otu mevi. Why aren't we saying over here the same thing? And Tosva says, because you don't necessarily, in the end, that was only when we thought that Rabba's reason was based only on Lashma. Now that we know that it's also based on Eidim Mitzurin L'Kaimai, then not necessarily do you need to do that. Not necessarily when you bring a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, should you need to say b'fanin nechtem, and the same way, not necessarily when you're bringing from Audashir to Aktisphon, should you need that. And then Tosfos points and just discusses a little bit the geography of it. That's the point. In other words, these are two cities on opposite sides of the Chidekel, and one is considered part of Babel, and one is not. So the Gemara says, Lema Kasavra Lafishen Bekiyim Lashma. Are you going to say that means that Rav Chista says that the reason we have to say b'fanin nechtem is because of Rabba's reason, because people may not be familiar with Lashma, Bahani Gmiri. So therefore, you're going to say that people from Bay Audashir, since they're part of Babel, they're familiar with these dinim, therefore they don't need to. Whereas the other way around, the Jews of Aktisphon may not be as familiar. The Gemara says, "V'tispara." How could you think that? V'ha Rabba isle de Rava. Again, we've already established that Rabba agrees with Rava's reason. So even if you don't have to worry about the Lashma consideration, you still have to take into consideration whether Eidim Mitzurin L'Kaim, right? And on the face of it, that's going to be the same thing whether you're going from Bay Audashir to Aktisphon or the other way. So that can't be the reason. Elad kula alma be'in l'Kaim. Rather, you're going to answer again that Rav Chista is, that everybody is going to agree that the reason is because you need Adim to be Mekayim, the signatures. Well, the difference is, Vahani, the people from Bay Audashir, Kivan to Asli, Lashuka, Lahosam, they crossed the river to go to Aktisphon for the market, because the big markets were located in Aktisphon. So therefore, the result is, Kim and Azul, Shukal Lahasam, they go over there to Aktisphon for the markets. Therefore, Hanach Yadi, Bachsimus Yadi, Dahani, Bahani, Bahanach Lo Yadi. So what happens, therefore, is the people of Aktisphon, are familiar with the signatures of the people from Bay Audashir. Since the people of Bay Audashir come there to do business, and they, for example, they take out loans there when they come there to do business. They take out loans or they sell things or whatever. And who keeps the shtar? The people of Aktisphon. Therefore, the people of Aktisphon have examples of signatures from people from Bay Audashir over there where they can do that. Bahani b'dahana chloyadi, whereas the other way around, the people of Aktisphon are not as familiar with the signature, or the other way around, the people of Bay Audashir are not as familiar with the signatures of the people of Aktisphon. Now, why not? On the face of it, aren't they going to Aktisphon to do business? Don't the people of Aktisphon also sign shtaris in their presence? But b'shukayu tridi, they're busy with the marketplace over there. They're busy with their buying and selling. So therefore, they don't really pay attention so much to the signatures to notice them, to be able to recognize them. So therefore, that is why. So if you bring a get from Aktisfon to Bay Ardashir, you need to say b'fanenechta, because otherwise the husband may come to Bay Ardashir and say, one second, these signatures are forged, and you're not going to easily find people from Aktisfon to come and validate them. Therefore, you need the shliach coming from Aktisfon to say b'fanenechta. Whereas the opposite is not true, because if the get is brought to Aktisfon and the husband starts questioning the validity of the signatures, people from Aktisfon will easily be able to recognize the signatures, because they have in their files plenty of other things that are signed by people from Bay Ardashir. Tosfos distinguishes, by the way, between, we're saying over here, the people are busy with their marketplace and whatever, versus we said that the Bnei HaYeshiva, Shmuel had said before, that the Bnei Yeshivas are so busy with their learning that they don't really become familiar with the signatures of the place where the yeshiva is located. And Tosfos says, because they don't even really end up signing shtaris at all. They're learning in the yeshivas. They don't really come into a situation where they're signing shtaris at all, as opposed to when it comes to here with Aktisfon and Bay Ardashir, they at least do sign shtaris, even if they're not as familiar with them. The Gemara continues. Now, what about, here's another city in Bavel that let's deal with the dinim of that. The following three Amiroyim that we're going to talk about all lived in the city of Mechuzah, which was also near the Chidekel. It was not far from Aktisfon and Bay Ardashir. So now, what's the deal as far as that? Now, it's considered part of Babel. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Rabba Baravua Matzrich Me Arsa La Arsa. Rabba Baravua would require that you should say b'fanenechtem when you bring the get from one block to another, from not even from one block really, but from one side of the street to the other side of the street. Rashi describes an arisa is a row of houses on one side of the street. So therefore, so if you're crossing, even if you're just crossing the street in Mechuzah to bring a get, then Rabba Baravua would say you have to say b'fanenechtem. Why? We're going to see in a minute. Rav Sheshes Matzrich Meshchuna L'Shchuna. Rav Sheshes would require, even when you're going from one neighborhood to another, meaning from one group of houses to another. Rashi explains that in Halacha, Shchuna is considered to be three houses. So even if you're just bringing a get three houses over on the same side of the street, then Rav Sheshes would require you to say B'fanenechtem, B'fanenechtem. V'Rava Ba'osah Matzrich Ba'osah Shchuna. And Rava would require you to say b'fanenechtem in Mechuzah, even when you're all within the one shchuna, within the one neighborhood, within the three houses. So they might ask why. Rava d'amar l'fishein edim etzurin l'kaimai. Hasn't Rava been saying all along that the reason that you have to say b'fanenechtem is because you may not find edim to validate it? So why in Mechuzah would the din be different? Why would in Mechuzah would the din be any different? And Tosfos points out that you could say maybe for some purposes, even though Mechuzah is even though geographically it's located in Bavel, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that there were many Gerim in it, so therefore maybe it doesn't have the full status of Bavel as far as these Dinim. But since Rava doesn't hold there's even a problem of Lashma, he holds the problem is only Eidei Mitzurin L'Kaimai, so why, according to him, are we more Machmir in Mechuzah and than anywhere else? And the answer is Shiny Bnei Mechuzah Denaidi. The difference is the people of Mechuzah are constantly moving around from one place to another. They don't stay in their neighborhood let alone in the city. And therefore, if you have a get that was signed by one of them, it may not be that easy to find people to validate the signatures, because people are always going around and doing business and going from one place to another. Tosfos points out from Rabbeinu Tam, a psak, that therefore nowadays you always have to say b'fanenechtem, because also everybody is always moving around. People don't necessarily stay put for any length of time. Okay. The Gemara continues more on this topic. Rav Chanin Mishtoi. Rav Chanin told the following story. Rav Kahana Aisi Gita. Rav Kahana one time brought a get from Chutz Laretz brought a get within Babel. But Rav Chanin says, V'lo yadayna imi surah v'nahawdah, imi nahawdah l'surah. I don't know whether Rav Kahana was bringing it from surah to nahawdah or the other way around, from nahawdah to surah. But whatever the case, it was within Babel. also the Chamei de Rav. So he came to ask Rav whether he needs to be there for the writing of the get. Omalei, he asked him, Tzrichna l'meim b'fana nechtem aloi tzrichna. Do I need to make this declaration or not? So therefore, do I have to be present when the get is being written or not? Omalei, loi tzrichas. And Rav tells him, you don't need to, because like we said before, Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael. The E Avdis, but Rav tells him, if you do say b'fana nechtem, ahanis, then you will accomplish something by it. So the Gemara says, my E Avdis ahanis, what exactly would Rav Chanan accomplish by saying it? So de E osi ba'alam arer, suppose that later on the husband comes and objects and claims that the get is forged or whatever, loy mashkichinen bay, once you say b'fana nechtem, then that will override what the husband does, and therefore and we won't pay any attention to what he says. Tosfos actually learns differently in Ksubas, that says that no, if the husband were to say that the get is forged, then yeah, we are going to have kiyum shtaris. All we're saying is if the husband makes some other objection, such as l'shmo or whatever, then we won't worry about him. Tosfos also says over here that the same thing would apply in Eretz Yisrael. That even in Eretz Yisrael, where you don't have to say b'fana nechtem, then it helps that in case the husband does try to bring up objections against the get, then we'll say we're not going to pay any attention. And the Gemara says, kidatanya, and we know that as we learn in a b'raisa. It happened once that a certain person brought a get in front of Rabbi Shmuel. He had brought the get from someplace else and he brought it to Rabbi Shmuel's based in. And the person asked, do I need to make that declaration when I deliver the get or not? So Rabbi Shmuel asked him, Bni, my son, where are you? Meaning, where are you from? Meaning, where are you bringing the get from? Because that will be where it was written. Now a get usually has the place that was written in it. So the Maharam Shif says apparently Rabbi Shmuel did not actually see the get. Otherwise, he doesn't have to ask. The fact is, in Shulchan Aruch, it does bring two different opinions. Everybody agrees that you need on the get the place where the Edom signed it. It's a machlokas aposkim whether you need also the place where it was written. In practice, in order to avoid the suffix, they make sure that the get is written and signed in the same location, and that location is what's written in the get. Anyway. So he asked him, where are you from? Omalei Rebbe, Mikfau Sisai Ani. So he says, I come from Kfau Sisai. That's where I'm bringing the get from. Omalei, so Rabbi Shmuel says, in that case, Tzarechat Alam, b'fana nechtem. Well, then you have to say, b'fana nechtem, shaloi tizokik le'edim, and that way this woman will not need edim to be makayim the shtar and to certify the signatures in case the husband brings up, objections to it. So on the face of it, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that Kfar Sisai is considered outside Eretz Yisrael. But La'achal Sheyotza, after the guy left, Nichnas the fun of Rabbi Lai. Rabbi Lai came to talk to Rabbi Shmuel, Omaloi, and he asked him, Rebbe, why did you tell him that he has to say b'fana nechtem? Ba'alei Kfar Sisai muvlas b'tchum Eretz Yisrael. It is true that Kfar Sisai is outside the technical borders of Eretz Yisrael, but it is muvla, as we learned a few days ago, that it's one of those places where the border doesn't run in a straight line, where the border curves, and Kfar Sisai is within one of those curves, within one of those loops. It's like a peninsula of Chutz La'aretz that sticks out into Eretz Yisrael. So it's muvlas, and according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, therefore, it's not necessary to say b'fana nechtem from such a place. And you should know also, Kfar Sisai is actually close, even closer to Tzipori, even closer than Akoi. Now, Tzipori in those times was a central city in the Galil where many Chachamim and a substantial part of the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael lived in and around Tzipori. So therefore, so Kfar Sisai is actually, and so even Akoi, which as we're going to go on to say that Akoi, according to the mayor, is considered like part of Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin, even though Akoi is on the coast and it's a good distance from the Galil. It's a good distance from the central Galil where most of the Jews lived. And nevertheless, as we're going to go on to say, the mayor holds that Akoi is considered like Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin. So Kfar Sisai should be all the more so. So Utnan, and we learned in the Mishnah, a mayor, Emma Akel Keretz Yisrael Gittin. Va'afilu Rabbanon, like Pliny Alei did a mayor. Even the Chachamim, the only reason they disagree with her mayor, Ela Ba'akoy de Merachka, they're arguing only because Akoy is far away, relatively, from the main areas of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. But Kfar Sisai is closer than Akoy. So what's the problem? So Aval Kfar Sisai de Makarvaloi, Kfar Sisai being closer, there should be no machlokas about it. So why did you say that the guy has to say b'fana nechtam b'fana nechtam? Omaloi. So Rabbi Shmuel answers him that Rabbi Shmuel answers him, soik b'nish soik, be quiet, my son, be quiet. In other words, don't keep bringing up this objection. Once the matter has come out with heter, that, in other words, the point is, what's accomplished, in other words, here is what we're saying before, that even within Eretz Yisrael, even though maybe technically you don't have to say b'fana nechtam, but if you do, then that accomplishes that now there's a heter, now we know that get is kosher. In other words, if the husband comes and brings up objections, we're not going to be paying attention to him, yotza, then it came out the heter. So in other words, it's still, even though, fine, you're right, I might have been telling him to begin with because I thought that Sisai is too far away, and therefore you have to say b'fana nechtam. But even now, it still benefits. It still helps us that this way, even in Eretz Yisrael, if the husband were to object, then we won't listen to him. So we see that bears out the point that Rav says to that Rav is saying to Rav Kahana that even if technically from Surah to Nahadar or vice versa, you don't have to say b'fana nechtam, but if you do, you'll gain that, then we'll gain that, that now we won't pay attention to the husband's error. So the Gemara asks, why did Rabbi Loi even bring up the question? Didn't Rabbi Shmuel say to the person that the only reason I'm telling you to say b'fana nechtam is so the wife shouldn't require edim if the husband starts questioning the validity of the get? So Rabbi Loi should already understand that Rabbi Shmuel is not saying it because it's considered medina sayam, but rather because it'll benefit in that case, because it'll forestall any objections of the husband. And the Gemara answers, Loi Saimur Kameh, when they told Rabbi Loi wasn't there in the room when Rabbi Shmuel was talking to the guy. When he came in afterwards, he wasn't told the whole story. He wasn't told the whole answer that Rabbi Shmuel had given the guy. So he thought that Rabbi Shmuel was saying because it's Medina Sayyam, and Rabbi Shmuel was telling him that no, it's not because of Medina Sayyam, it's because it'll benefit that this way, that this way the husband can't be ma'arer on the getting. So till now, we've been talking about bringing a get within Bavel. What about from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Sholach le Rabbi Yosef le Rav Chista. Rabbi Yosef, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, sent a message to Rav Chista, telling him, Gittin aboy misham lekan, that Gittin that are brought from there, from Bavel, where you, Rav Chista, live, to here, to Eretz Yisrael, where I live, ain't sarach lam b'fana nechtam. They don't have to make this declaration. So the Gemara asks, Lema Kasavala Fishain Biki and Lashma Bahani Gmiri. Should we say that Rabbi Yosef then apparently holds, is another one who holds like Rabba, that the reason for b'fana nechtam is because of the problem of Lashma? And we know already, we established the people of Bavel are knowledgeable in that, so therefore there's no need to say it. So Rabbi Yosef's din would fit very well, according to Rabba, but on the face of it, maybe not according to Rava. But again, the Gemara says, like it did before, the Tispara, how could you think that? V'ha Rabba islay de Rava. We know that Rabba agrees with Rava's opinion. We know that we said already that Rabba concedes that Rava's consideration is a valid one also. So you also need Eidim Mitzurin Lakaimo, and you don't necessarily have that from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So how is that going to work? Ela, to call it Amma Be'inim Lakaimo. Again, we can answer, everybody agrees that the purpose of b'fana nechtam is because otherwise you don't have edim mitzurin l'kaim, right? The kivin de'ikar rabim, the salki v'nachsi, but because you have many people who travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, mishkach shkichi, therefore it's easy enough to find people who will be able to recognize the signatures and validate them. However, the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yosef, man lay malon de Rabbi Yosef bar Samcho. Who says that this Rabbi Yosef is so reliable that if he says this is the din, that we can take it to the bank and we can say that we should rely on him in halach? So I don't know the sort of Yosef, so I don't know how reliable he is. V'oid, and not only that, in fact, Rabbi Yosef says, I can show that there's something that he did which shows that he doesn't know halacha. Ha'ihu d'shalach le'ilu Rabbi Yehuda, this same Rabbi Yosef sent one time a message to Rabbi Yehuda criticizing the people of Bavel, where you had many people from Bavel, would leave their families and go to Eretz Yisrael for a while, sometimes for many years, to learn Torah and leave their families behind in Bavel without any means of support. And Rabbi Yosef criticized that. He wrote, "Bnei Adam ha'olim misham lekan, people who go up from there, meaning Bavel, to here to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah, heim kiyum ba'atzman, they are fulfilling by themselves an expression in the pasuk. In the original context of the pasuk is the Navi is criticizing the goyim who've been selling Jews into slavery." Even just for their own physical pleasures. But now Rabbi Yosef is kind of taking that passage out of context and using it to criticize the Jews who are leaving Bavel and abandoning their families behind to come learn in Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says vayitnu a yelad bazoina. The pasuk says they gave away a boy for zoina. Vayal de mochru bayayin, and a girl they sold for wine. Vayishdu, and they drank. So again, in context, this is the pasuk is criticizing the goyim where they would kidnap Jewish children and sell them to have money to pay off a zoina or to have money to buy wine. Here, Rabbi Yosef is saying that these people. In a way are guilty of that kind of thing. Tosfos explains the problem is that first of all, Rashi says they're leaving their wives behind as agunas, so therefore they're preventing period of arivia. So like as if they're saying like having children is something unimportant. We don't have to be with our wives to have children. So therefore, like they're as if they're saying like Jewish children are not so worthy of respect. Tosfos says the vote is they're leaving their families behind, and therefore they're redarshining the word bazoina meloshin mizoinus. He's using the word bazoina in the sense of mizoinus, that they wind up having to sell themselves into hard labor or even into slavery in order to raise money, in order to have food. In fact, Tosfos brings from a Yerushalmi that one time happened. There was a man who really wanted to go learn Torah, but he couldn't afford it. So he sold his daughter as an Oma Hevriya so that he'd have money to go learn Torah. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef is criticizing people who do that kind of thing. And the problem is, Rabbi Yosef says, because of lay below sirtu, he wrote those words of the pasuk without scoring lines on the parchment first. We know when it comes to mezuzahs, it's a halacha l'moshe Sinai that you have to do that. You have to draw straight lines on the parchment in order that the writing of the words of the mezuzah should be in straight lines. It's machlokas rishonim whether you need to do that by a sefer Torah or not, and practice all our sefer Torah have that. Tefillin, technically you don't need to. Technically you only need sirtut at most on the top line, but in practice, sofrim usually do it as well, because otherwise it's hard for them to write straight lines. But in general, as the Gemara is going to go on to quote now, when you're writing words of Torah, then you need to have sirtut of some kind. And here, Rabbi Yosef wrote these words without sirtut. So Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the details of the halachas of that, when you require sirtut, when not. One point is, if it's only if you're writing in Ksav Ashuri, it's not necessarily if you're writing like in the handwriting like we use nowadays, or Siddur letters or whatever, which don't have the same Kedusha. There's also, are you quoting the pasuk in order to daushin it or something, or are you just using it as a play on words? There's a number of different dinim like that. In practice, you see that people write words of psukim, and they don't necessarily do sirtut, so they use one or another of these hetedim, that they're doing it only for decorative purposes, for example, or only as a melitza, like as a figure of speech, or they're not using ksav ashuri, etc. Anyway, so va'omer Rabbi Yitzchok, and you should know Rabbi Yitzchok says shtayim kosvin sholoshen kosvin. You can only write up to two words without sirtut, but once you're writing three words from a pasuk or more, then you need to do sirtut. V'masnisetana, and in a braisa you learn sholosh kosvin arba en kosvin. You can write three words without sirtut, but four you already need to do sirtut. Either way, the point is Rabbi Yosef is quoting many more words than that in the pasuk, because he's quoting vayitnu hayelad bazoyna vayal democh Yochru Bayayin Bayishtu, which is seven words, and he didn't do Sirtur. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, so you see, Rabbi Yosef is not necessarily somebody that you can rely on in matters of halacha. It's an interesting idea, by the way. Rabbi David Povarsky, the famous Rosh Hashiva of Ponovich a couple of decades ago, he explains that when you're writing two words, one next to another, Rabbi Yitzchok figures two words, you can easily see whether one is lined up with the other. But once you have three, you might be, it's a little bit off. The second one is a little bit off compared to the first one. And therefore you won't realize. And then when you write the third one, then you'll find out it's not a straight line anymore. Whereas the Braisa is taking the view that it's easy enough to make sure that three of them are lined up without Sirtut, but four of them, it's going to be too hard to do that. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yosef is saying, you see, Rabbi Yosef didn't know that halacha, so how can you rely on him in other matters of halacha? So the Gemara answers back, Omalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Otu kol de la yoda ha de Rabbi Yitzchak lav gaver rabahu. What do you think that anybody who doesn't know this particular din that Rabbi Yitzchak said is not considered a great person? That you should say, therefore, you can't rely on him in other matters of halacha? Bishlema, by the way, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yitzchak is arguing on the Braisa. Rabbi Yitzchak is an Amora. How can he argue on a Braisa? Evidently, he knew that the Braisa is written mistakenly, and therefore he felt free to disagree with it. That's why also Abaya is mentioning Rabbi Yitzchak rather than the Braisa. Whatever, the point is, Bishlema milsit Italia b'svara. Abaya says it's one thing you can understand when it comes to something that depends on svara. L'chaye, fine, then if he doesn't know a svara, then it's true, there's not an Adam Gadol. Ha, but over here, we're talking about Gemarahi. We're talking about something that, b'kabbalah, it's not something based on svara, it's something that you'd learn from your Rebbeim. O Gemara, l'shmirle, he poshut never heard of this particular din. So therefore, so you can't hold that against him and say that because of that, you shouldn't consider him to be an Adam Gadol. And then we'll continue tomorrow, Bes Hashem, and we'll talk about Abaya is going to bring another proof to the contrary, that Rabbi Yosef really is an Adam Gadol, and that's going to get us into a whole piece of Agadah. So we'll continue that tomorrow, Bes Hashem.